Election Day is underway. What does it look like across Maine? After an election season that seemed as though it would never end, Election Day is upon us. This year is historic in many ways. Of course, the COVID-19 pandemic has changed the way campaigns are run. It has also changed how people are voting. 500,000 people in Maine already voted by absentee ballot before Election Day. I'm Jennifer Brooks. Polls in the state open for in-person voting at 7 this morning. Today on Maine Calling, we will find out how it is going across the state. We'll also discuss efforts to turn out more young voters and the impact of ranked choice voting on Maine's electorate. We want to hear from you. What was your experience in voting this year? Your thoughts about this consequential election? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. Welcome to Maine Calling. I'm your host, Jennifer Rooks. It is Election Day, and we are going to check in and see how this momentous day is going across Maine. My guest, Anna Keller, who is Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Maine and Maine Citizens for Clean Elections, and Matthew Dunlap, Maine's Secretary of State. We invite your questions and comments. Let us know about your voting experience, whether it was today or sometime earlier. And if you have any remaining questions, you can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Matt Dunlap, I'm going to start with you because I know that you are only with us for a little while. You have the busiest day of the year today, and I appreciate you taking time to be on Maine Calling. Tell us what you've seen so far today.
Well, because I start in Old Town, that's where I live, and I got up about 5 o'clock this morning. I was a little surprised to see a couple of inches of snow on the ground. It's made travel a little bit slower in the northern part, but I got to the Old Town polling station at 7:30, and there was already a line of about 50 people outside the building, very busy traffic. And then from there, I went down to Waterville, and at Waterville, by 9 o'clock, they'd already had over 450 people vote. And that's on top of the 5,600 absentee ballots they processed. So we had sort of predicted seeing somewhat lighter foot traffic in the polls. But by and large, what I've seen so far has been very, very steady, if not heavy. And that's in addition to the over 500,000 absentee ballots that have already been received by the town. So we're looking at some pretty historic turnout numbers.
Yeah, that's astonishing. 500,000 absentee ballots already cast. I know that in 2016, Maine's voter turnout was 72%. Are you making any predictions about what you're going to see at the end of the day today, what it's going to add up to?
I think we're going to probably surpass that number. I don't know by how much. I mean, there are only so many voters in Maine, and so many of them have already voted. And it's still kind of early in the election process. I think we'll definitely be north of 70%. How much remains to be seen?
1.3 million people in Maine, but obviously people under 18 can't vote. What's the sense of about how many eligible voters there are? How many if we had 100% turnout?
We have just over 1 million voter age eligible voters in the state of Maine.
All right. I want to bring Anna Keller into the conversation. Anna, I know that the League of Women Voters and other organizations were really focusing on the youth vote in Maine, a group of people that is historically underrepresented in the polls. What do you think is going to be the final story this year when it comes to the youth vote?
I think people are going to be surprised at how much the youth vote makes a difference this year and that we'll see higher turnout than historically. We were already starting to see that with the midterm election that that youth voters in Maine and across the country were up from those typical lows. But from the young people that we talked to this year, they are incredibly determined to get out and vote, to get their friends to vote, to have their voices be heard. We've been working with 50 high school students around the state who have been networking with each other and coordinating across efforts that many of them were already leading in their schools, and we've been able to give them some support. But really the enthusiasm and the drive to be heard is coming from this generation.
Matt, are you sensing the same thing?
Absolutely. There have been a number of factors that have gotten the attention of young voters and also organizations like the League of Women Voters and also AARP reaching out to young voters. The University of Maine's done some work along that line. In fact, my daughter is working at the polls in Orono this afternoon from 1 to 5, and this is like her third election. And she voted in a school referendum election when she was 18, and she voted in the primary, and now in this general election. So that tells you something right there, that people are energized enough to get involved at this age.
Matt, I want to ask you some of the questions that are just at the forefront of people's minds as they watch the news and read the headlines around the country, and specifically about those 500,000 absentee ballots. Reporting across the country about when states count those, do they count the in-person votes first and then the absentee ballots second? I know that cities and towns have been able to start processing the absentee ballots already. What is the order come 8 o'clock, or is it decided town by town?
It's done by state law. And in Maine, of course, the law allows for early processing if a town gives notice of it for 4 days. But under the executive order that the governor issued a while back, that was extended to 7 days because we anticipated a heavy volume of absentee ballots. The city of Portland, and I talked to the city clerk there on Thursday, they had already prepared 33,000 absentee ballots to be run through tabulators. So, of course, they can do that work up to 7 days in advance of the election. No totals are run until after 8 p.m. on election night.
How long does it take to run it through the tabulators once 8 o'clock hits?
Well, no, they're already run through the tabulators. They just don't hit the total button until after 8 o'clock. They can do everything except run the tape on election night. And for towns that do that are counting by hand, they don't start counting until after 8 p.m. on election night, so they don't count early absentee ballots. Somewhat different process for hand count towns.
It sounds to me that you're not concerned about some of the things that election watchers are concerned about in other states. This is going to take days, and the results are going to be challenged.
That's true. I mean, no two states run their elections exactly the same way. And there are states, and this is something that was talked about at great length in Maine, about maybe doing a postmark deadline. So like California, for example, they're accepting absentee ballots up to 7 days after the election. So they're not going to be able to finish their tabulations, for quite a bit longer, although they'll have some apparent results even tonight. And that's probably sounds like a distinction without a difference, but what we work from in terms of what we draw up the documents that we present to the legislature, to Congress, to the governor, we work on certified results, and we have to have those done 20 days after the election. And that's somewhat different than the apparent results that you see on election night. But in any case, there are those jurisdictions that don't even start counting absentee ballots until after the polls close. In Maine, we can start this year up to 7 days in advance.
All right. And Anna, I want to bring you in here. When you hear 500,000 absentee ballots already cast, half of the eligible voters in Maine, 75% of the number of people who voted in 2016, do you react with excitement, worry? What goes through your mind?
I'm with excitement. It means that voters have been doing what we've been urging them to do for months, which was to act early and to not wait until the last minute to vote. And I think that's coming both from an election that has people excited to vote and really determined that their votes are going to count, and that people for the last few months have been learning how to adapt to living in COVID scenarios, and that everything might take a little more planning, a little more figuring out and making some contingency plans. And so we're very lucky in Maine to have strong voter rights laws and really good voter access, so people have a bunch of options for how they could cast their ballots. And it's been great to see people take advantage of all of those, from mailing in their ballots to putting them in many of the shiny new drop boxes around the state to voting early in person at their town offices. And then for the people who wanted or needed to turn out and vote today in person at their polls, they've got that option too. So a lot of our voter turnout can really be attributed to how many options people have so that they can find the way to vote that fits the best with them.
And I've always said that the legislature never gets the credit they deserve for writing some of the best election laws in the country. And of course, that's a very public process involving a lot of folks. But, you know, we do have some of the most accessible voting laws, along with some of the most accountable voting laws as well. And that's what really affords that type of access. And plus, you know, Maine is still very much a town meeting state, and people are really engaged in their communities. And that's the part that also doesn't get enough attention, is that our voters are incredibly engaged compared to other regions of the country.
How is, do you have a sense, Matt Dunlap, about how many absentee ballots are being rejected? A lot of fear about that.
It's a pretty small percentage. I think we've had about 4,000 rejected for sundry reasons. Most commonly, people forget to sign the back of the envelope. In fact, that was something that when the governor was helping us with the drop boxes, that she really insisted that we have signage on drop boxes that say, remember to sign the back of your envelope. And also our guidance to towns this year, which I think has really been pretty effective, is that before they reject an absentee ballot, they should take a business day anyway and try to reach out to the voter through the contact information that the voter has left in their application, either by email or by phone, and say, hey, there's an issue here, and giving them an opportunity to cure it, along with, you know, employing the challenge ballot process that allows them to be counted anyway if they've made some small bureaucratic error of some kind. And I think that's helped a lot. But, you know, 4,000 rejected absentee ballots in the context of 500,000 is a really, really strong percentage, to be sure.
Do you have a sense of how many of those 4,000 actually went through the process of their town clerk reaching out to them and then having them accepted in the end?
We'll probably break that out at the end. Right now, we've just been trying to stay one step ahead.
I bet.
Charging Visigoths in this election.
So, Matt, I know I'm going to make this clear to listeners because Matthew Dunlap needs to go pretty soon, but I do want to give you a question that has come in already. This is an email from Mary. She says she requested an absentee ballot, filled it out, and dropped it off at our town's new secure ballot box. But when I went to check the status of my ballot online, it came up as there is no ballot tracking data available for this voter. I called and stopped by my town office to ask, and we discovered that my birth date was listed incorrectly. The clerk assured me my ballot had been accepted and processed, but it still makes me nervous. If I go online and put in the incorrect birthday, my ballot comes up as being accepted. What if this means they could contest my ballot somehow down the road? How did the state get my birthday incorrect? There is so much riding on this election, and I am a nervous wreck about all of it.
I think she should really, Mary should rest assured that everything's okay. If her ballot's been accepted, that means it's probably already been processed. And in terms of getting her birthday corrected, that's something that they can take care of at the town level, or we can take care of it with our Central Voter Registration Management System. But, in terms of challenging that ballot, once it's cast, it can't be challenged. So if it's been accepted by the town, it's good to go.
All right. We'll go quickly to Allison, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Allison. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. My question has to do with the availability of absentee balloting today. I find that ever since Maine changed its laws around absentee balloting, where we have a deadline for no excuse absentee balloting, it's become almost a de facto deadline, and people think that it's too late to vote absentee after that. But in fact, I believe that if people need an absentee ballot today because they can't get to the polls for any one of various reasons, that option is still available. So I was hoping the secretary could confirm that for your listeners.
Yes, that's absolutely true. While the no excuse absentee balloting ended pursuant to the executive order at 5 o'clock on Friday, in fact, you can still get an absentee ballot if you have some unanticipated condition that hits you, that keeps you from the polls. That's, you know, one of the parameters is a medical reason. And what we've been telling folks, in fact, we had this question yesterday, somebody found themselves in quarantine. Well, that's that's basically a medical condition. So, yeah, you can get an absentee ballot under those circumstances, or an unexpected work trip or something like that. Those are the sort of the traditional reasons that people get absentee ballots. But, yes, that process is still available for voters. So if for some reason you can't get to the polls today because of something that's happened beyond your control, you can still get an absentee ballot.
All right. Thank you so much, Allison, for your question. And again, to be clear, we will not have the Secretary of State with us for much longer.
I want to go and pull it round.
We got you for five more minutes, though. Don't go anywhere. Really quickly, we've got Sarah Craighead Dedmond on the phone with us. She's the editor of the Machias Valley News Observer. And I so appreciate you calling in, Sarah. And I'm sure Anna and Matt want to hear the answer to this question as well. What is happening in your part of the state? How's it looking? What are you hearing from the polls?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me, Jennifer. Absolutely crazy voter turnout. I mean, we have snow here. It's our first big snow, like so many places. And the RCC is reporting all kinds of accidents. But even so, in Machiasport, where I live, there were 12 people lined up at 6:30 this morning, even knowing they couldn't vote until 8. And by the time I was over there around 10 o'clock, they'd already about surpassed the previous record vote. Then down here in Machias, where I am now, same thing, steady stream all day. They're well over a third of registered voters have already come through. They've had one malfunction. Their voting machine died for a little bit. But they've got another one back up and running. And they had a gentleman come in and say, you know, I haven't voted in 60 years. Am I still on the rolls? And he was. And so he voted. So this is obviously, you know, neither sleet nor snow applies to the voters too today, and it's an important election here.
I want to ask all of you, and I'll start with you, Sarah. We've heard worries about voter intimidation. Anything like that happening down east?
No, not that I've heard. And I did reach out to the sheriff's office, and they don't have any concerns about that. Someone did offer to come provide security at the Machiasport 10 office, and the clerk said, no, I also don't have any concerns about that. So I think some people are worried, you know, I guess we just don't know what we don't know. But overall, I don't think that's the vibe here.
Anna and Matt, anything to add? Are you hearing about any voter intimidation, Matt?
It's been eerily quiet, actually. And, you know, this is something that was talked about a lot in the run up to today. And, you know, what we're hearing basically is what Sarah's saying in down East Maine. It's been very quiet, very civil. Haven't heard of any concerns of any substantial nature, and which is a real relief given some of the public debate that was going on around, you know, if some sort of homegrown militia company decides that they're going to quote unquote protect the voting process. That has not happened. And we didn't really anticipate it would, because like I said, Maine's kind of a small town state and everybody kind of knows each other. So that's less likely to happen here.
Anna?
I am looking at the responses that are coming in from our observers out in the field, and we've got 84 responses in front of me from just about every county, large towns and small towns, and not a single report of any voter intimidation or anything really that has gotten in the way of voters being able to cast their ballots. We're seeing really strong COVID preparedness. And from the clerks that we had talked to going into this election, I was very impressed at how they had thought through balancing different kinds of security, making sure that they had law enforcement available if anything did come up, but that they wouldn't need to post officers, you know, directly in the polling place, because that could also be an intimidating thing to some voters. So what we've seen, I think, was good preparation, and hopefully it's like when you bring an umbrella on a sunny day and, you know, means you're going to be safe and no rain will happen.
All right. Well, before we go to a break, I want to go to Constantino in Westbrook, because Constantino, I understand you have something you would like to say to our Secretary of State.
I would. This is a blatant, transparent homage to Mr. Dunlap.
Oh, gosh. Constantino, are you there?
I want to thank him for his integrity. And most of all, a lot of people.
Well, shoot, Matt, you're not going to be able to hear, I think.
Taking down Mike Pence and Chris. compliment.
I don't think you're going to be able to hear your complete compliment, but it sounds like Constantino is very appreciative of the work you've done this season and on the election, the Presidential Voter Fraud Commission.
Well, I don't do anything I do alone. As you know, Jennifer, I have the most wonderfully committed and dedicated crew of people around me that you could ever ask for. And really, I just sign the stuff and they do all the work.
All right. Well, Secretary of State Matt Dunlap, thank you so much for joining us for a while. And I hope things continue to go as smoothly as you were reporting this morning. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from AARP Maine, providing information on voting from home with absentee ballots, aarp.org/mainevotes, by the law offices of Joe Bornstein, who believe that voting rights are the cornerstone of democracy. Learn more at vote.org/state/Maine. And MEMIC, with a mission to improve workforce safety and injury management and a goal of sending millions back to the Maine economy.
Joe Biden will shut down your economy.
Wall Street did not build this country. You did. People like my parents.
Election Day 2020 is finally here.
It's looking like it'll be one of the biggest voter turnouts in U.S. history.
We'll bring you the latest on this historic election next time, Here and Now.
That's coming up shortly after Maine Calling at 12 noon here on Maine Public Radio.
American voters will finally get to choose who they want in the White House.
I'm running as a proud Democrat, but I will govern as an American president.
Get out and vote. The red wave is coming.
And an anxious nation awaits the results of critical contests around the country. Join us tonight for special live coverage of Election Night 2020, plus more updates on tomorrow's morning edition from NPR News.
Coverage starts tonight at 7 o'clock and is expected to last into the overnight.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. It is Election Day, and we are checking in with people across the state. Joining me, Anna Keller with the League of Women Voters of Maine and Maine Citizens for Clean Elections. We'd love for you to share your comments. Email talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Sarah Dedman from the Machias Valley News Observer is still with us. And Sarah, before we let you go, I just want to ask you if you're hearing any concerns from voters.
We certainly have heard a lot of concerns on both sides of the aisle. One that's both sides seem to be concerned about is corruption, not so much in the election, but just in Washington. And a lot of concerns about health care on the left, about balancing the state budget on the right, about taxes, about socialism. I'm hearing that a little bit from some of our readers on the right. So on the left, we're hearing a lot about, you know, concerns about the divisiveness that's been going on in American society and the negative campaigning. So it's all on the table.
Sarah, I really appreciate you taking time with us today, and I hope things continue to go well in your neck of the woods today. Moving on, we'll go to West Bath in Mason. Mason, how was voting for you? Did you vote today or did you vote early?
Yeah, I voted today. It was pretty much a walkthrough in West Bath.
All right. So no lines, and did you feel safe?
I felt safe, but I was witness yesterday to people ripping up signs. And
oh, really?
Yeah, I actually ended up calling the police. I was over on the Hill Road of West Bath. They left the Trump signs, but they were taking up the Biden signs and stuffing them in the car. And I guess that kind of segues to the question I have for anybody that wants to listen is, why have we allowed this to become such a divisive election? Why are we so angry that we're willing to lash out? And I mean, it's in so many different ways, and I'm just really scared about how things have gone this way.
Mason, I think a lot of people share your concern. Anna, do you have anything you'd like to say?
It's a really common feeling that we hear from people, I think, of all different backgrounds, and what we have been trying to engage with people who, you know, who feel the way that you do is to not let that feeling of
frustration or how divisive things are be your reason to not get involved, because that's what happens so often, is that when there's shouting and anger in the public space, that those spaces get left to the people who are shouting the loudest, and then we lose out on everyone else's opinion.
That's what I'm seeing, is we seem as a, I'm a centrist, but I lean Democratic, and to try to talk to, I mean, I'm in construction, so I have a lot of people, I run into a lot of people that are from an opposing viewpoint, and when you try to have a discussion, it very quickly breaks down, and I don't understand how this fissure has erupted and, you know, and it's become so blatant. I don't understand why we're allowing this. As a society, it just seems really scary to me that we have, like, degraded so quickly over the last 6 months as far as our ability to be cordial to each other and inability to talk to each other. And I don't understand how this cancer has been allowed to fester like it has.
Mason, it's a huge national conversation, and so many people share your concerns. I really appreciate you calling in and sharing those. I want to go now to Kathy Montejo, who's a Lewiston city clerk. Kathy, we weren't sure if you'd be able to call in because you're looking at six precincts today. How is everything going?
Hi, Jennifer. Yes, thank you. Things seem to be going really well. We did have lines at all of our polling places this morning at 7 a.m. Folks were lining up at 6 a.m., but all of those lines were able to be processed by about 7:20, 7:30 this morning. I just returned from doing another loop around the city for all of our polling places. We don't seem to have a lot of outside lines right now, which is great. Most of the voters are able to be inside in the inside area waiting, so we're really pleased with that. So it seems to be going very smoothly and very well, very steady turnout, but not huge lines at this point, so we're excited about that.
Are you seeing many people registering today to vote on the spot?
We are. We are having some people register today. We did encourage folks to do that in advance. We did a large marketing outreach effort in September and October, encouraging folks to take care of that in advance of Election Day just to save them time, as well as the building capacity limit. We were quite concerned about that. But we are having some folks definitely register to vote today, which is perfectly fine. They're able to do that legally at the polls up until 8 o'clock tonight.
All right. And what's going on behind the scenes? Are people processing the absentee ballots as people are in-person voting today?
We do have absentee ballot processing going on today. We did a large push. We processed all of the absentee ballots that were received up through last week. We processed those on Saturday. We did 11,392 ballots in 5 hours on Saturday with a team of 50 workers and 11 machines. So then any absentee ballots that were returned Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and today, either through the Dropbox or the mail, are being processed today by a much smaller group of election workers. So that will continue until 8 p.m. tonight. So folks do have a chance to turn in their absentee ballots right up until 8 o'clock tonight, and those will be processed today.
Holy cow. So tell me how this election compares to others that you have overseen in the city of Lewiston.
So certainly there's a lot of challenges with the extra layer of the pandemic, but with the direction and support of the Secretary of State's office, I think all municipalities in Maine were able to implement the CDC safety precautions to keep our election workers, our voters, and our community as a whole safe. The state provided pens for everyone to use, a one-time use pen, so voters are not sharing pens. All the election workers are wearing face masks provided by the state. They also have face shields if they would like to wear those in addition to the cloth mask. They are working behind the plexiglass screens, the plexiglass barriers, and we have hand sanitizer at the entrance and exit of every polling place. And that's statewide. That was all provided by the Secretary of State's office. So we're all working really hard to keep our community safe. So that was really sort of the big challenge in addition to implementing and administering a presidential election.
Kathy, before I let you go, I have to ask you about a prediction. When do you think you'll have the ballots counted?
Sure. So we are hoping for Lewiston for 11 o'clock tonight. The one of the factors will be, Jennifer, is how many people are in line at 8 o'clock. And that's just not for Lewiston, but that's statewide. state law says any voter who's in line to vote at 8 p.m. does have a right to still vote. So if we have 50 people in line at a particular polling place, they may not all be processed until, let's say, 8:30, quarter of 9. At that point, the election supervisor can then start to run the tape machine and get the tally totals. So that's going to be a factor, how many people are in line at 8 o'clock, and that will drive the timing of our results as well.
All right. Well, Kathy Monteo, thank you so much for taking the time. And it sounds like you're going to deserve a nice vacation after all of this.
That would be great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. My pleasure. Thank you.
We're going to go to Cheryl, who's calling from Old Town. Hi, Cheryl. Go ahead.
Hi. First of all, thank you very much for having this program, and thank you for all the election programming that you've done for this season. I wanted to report that I had a very smooth and satisfactory voting experience. I voted absentee in person the first day that option was available. That was my plan A of my plan A, plan B, and plan C voting plans that I had made for the whole month before that started. So I was really happy. It went really well. I did that in my town office, and I think there were three employees, one other voter, and me that were in there at the time, and we were all masked up. I handed my ballot to the town clerk, and she took a look at the signature and smiled and said I was all set. So, as I said, I found that a really smooth and satisfactory experience.
Cheryl, let me ask you this. Is this the first time that you've done that you voted in person on the first day of absentee ballot voting?
It's the first time I've done it on the first day.
Okay.
In-person absentee voting fit my work schedule when I was working. I'm retired now, but, you know, the habit stuck.
That's right. Well, Cheryl, I appreciate you calling and sharing your experience in it. It sounds like you didn't have to drive today in the snow to vote because of that.
That was part of my plan A consideration. I wanted to make sure that was taken care of before the weather changed or before COVID changed or anything else changed.
Thank you so much for sharing. That's Cheryl calling from Old Town. Turning now to Stephen Porter, who's the main editor for Seacoast Online and editor of the York County Coast Star. Nice to talk to you again, Stephen. Tell us about your neck of the woods. What's going on down there? How do the polls look?
Yeah, so we have reporters visiting the polls throughout our coverage area, checking in on how things have been going thus far this morning in York, the town of York, for example. There were more than 100 people in line when the polls opened at 7 a.m. And bear in mind, of course, that a majority of that town had already voted by absentee. So we're seeing very strong turnout, some lines in some places, none in others. The town of Elliott did not have any lines this morning. So we're keeping an eye on things. Thus far, there have been no real hiccups, rather. So I take that as a good sign.
Any signs of voter intimidation, some of the other things that people have been worried about?
We have not. If our readers do have any tips of that kind of information, please reach out to us at news@seacoastonline.com. But thus far, we have not heard any of those complaints, thankfully. We'll be in touch with law enforcement to make sure that they have not as well. But so far, so good.
Well, Stephen, thanks so much for calling in and sharing with us. Stephen Porter with the Seacoast Online and York County Coast Star. We're going to go to Paul calling from Orland. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I voted early, and when I went to sign the envelope that my vote went into, I discovered that there was only approximately a quarter of an inch space allotted to my signature at the top of the envelope. Now, I'm used to signing my name with a bit of a flourish, and when I squeezed my signature into that tiny space, it was no longer my signature. It was a stranger's signature from how it looked. Now, if someone chooses to challenge my ballot and they look at that signature and it doesn't match up, could someone explain what the next step would be to validate, or is there a next step? Can they just toss that out on the basis of my signature?
Sure. Anna Keller, do you know the answer?
Yeah, so in that case, if a ballot was challenged because of the signature, you would be contacted and you would be given an opportunity to say, you know, yes, that is me. That is how I signed that ballot. Yeah, it's a little funny looking, but that was me. And in that case, the ballot would then be able to be counted. If it's something that got flagged by the clerk when your ballot was being processed, they would reach out to you at that point when they're processing the ballot to say, you know, we got this ballot. The signature doesn't seem to match what we've got on file for you. Was this your ballot? And you could say, yes, it was, and it would get cast. If they couldn't reach you, then they would cast it as a challenged ballot. It would still count, but in the event of a recount or you're going back through those, then they would reach out to you again after the fact. And only in the case of them not being able to prove that it was your signature could it be thrown out. So we've got quite a few safeguards in place in that case. And what we've seen in general is that clerks, unless they have some reason to suspect that there's a problem, they tend to be aware that people's signatures change over time, that, you know, you might look a little different from how you're signing it now than when you first registered to vote 20 years ago. And so when they can, they try to match signatures against the absentee ballot request form, because that's a recent signature for you. But one thing that your story does flag for us is that there's always room for improvement in the envelope design. And that's something, you know, getting very into the weeds of election processing. There are best practices for how these envelopes and all of these forms can be designed that take into account things like making sure there's enough space for someone to sign. So it's a good thing to add to the list of the tweaks we can make to improve in future elections.
Paul, I appreciate your call. Thanks for taking part in today's Maine Calling. We are going to take another quick break. If you'd like to call, the number 1-800-399-3566. If you're quick, you could send a quick email, a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from MEMIC, with a mission to improve workforce safety and injury management and a goal of sending millions back to the Maine economy. By AARP Maine, providing information on voting from home with absentee ballots, aarp.org/mainevotes. And the law offices of Joe Bornstein, Maine lawyers committed to working for Maine people since 1974. Learn more at joebornstein.com.
William Wright died in jail of a heart attack on November 3, 1957, while serving the contempt of court charge. Wright's tomb, with a dramatic bronze portrait bust, stands in a forest clearing near his former home in Rangeley. Wright founded a new science called orgonomy, an alleged type of primordial cosmic energy. He claimed that orgone energy, also coined bioenergy or life energy, is omnipresent. Wright was charged with criminal contempt because he refused to obey an injunction against selling unproved medical devices, which allegedly could collect and distribute orgone energy, thereby making possible the cure for just about any medical disorder.
On This Day in Maine's History was created in partnership with the Maine Historical Society and made possible through the generous support of Marshall Communications. Happy birthday, Maine!
Today is Election Day. The PBS NewsHour will start their television coverage this evening at 6 o'clock and continue into the overnight. Maine Public Television will also bring you updates on Maine voting returns as they come in after the polls close this evening at 8. Here on Maine Public Radio, our NPR coverage starts at 7 this evening. The Maine Public News team will be on hand starting at 8 to bring you Maine results and updates as well. Maine Public Radio's NPR election coverage is likely to go into the wee hours of Wednesday morning as well. Tomorrow, you can expect coverage to continue and updates throughout the day here on Maine Public Radio with the latest returns, results, and analysis.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on our program, a look at how Election Day is going across the state. Joining me for the hour, Anna Keller with the League of Women Voters of Maine. You can join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Joining us now, Merton Brown, Kennebunk Town Clerk. Merton, thanks for calling. I understand you've done this work for 4 decades. How does this election compare with others?
Well, I've cited some differences for you, but I want to talk first about today. Today's been a great day in Kennebunk. Leading up to today's election, we have had 7,028 absentee ballots, which represents 70% of our voting list. And in the first 20 minutes of today, we open at 6 a.m., one of the few towns that do, we had 84 people vote. And right now we're hovering around 1,000. So I'm anticipating probably 2,000 voters today, which would put us into about a 90% of our voting list voting, which is really quite remarkable.
A 90% voter turnout. Wow.
Yes. Some of the big differences between when I first my first election that I handled and administered was Jimmy Carter in 1976, and I kind of made a list of things that are really so different. And the major things are absentee voting. You know, some people think that absentee voting is new this year, that it was something that we did, you know, because of COVID. But we were doing absentee balloting 45 years ago that I'm aware of, and probably many years before that. It used to be that you hadn't better stick around town the day you absentee voted, because if somebody saw you, that they could come in and challenge your vote. Fortunately, that's changed, and now you have 20 out of 30 days before the election to vote absentee, for no reason. So I've really appreciated the fact that we have been able to, you know, help people out with that that service of absentee balloting. The second time is the time frame. It used to be that a couple weeks before the election, maybe 3 weeks before the election, would be a clerk's really busy time, and then kind of clean up after that 2 weeks. But this year, because of all the promotion of absentee voting and the promotion for people to vote, I got the first load of absentee ballot requests from the Secretary of State's office where people could do electronic requests. 583 of those arrived on the 19th day of August. And they barely slowed down from there. So we've really been at this all of August, September, and, you know, October. The other big difference, too, is with the machines. For many, many years, we didn't have machines, and we used the old wooden boxes that were made by the prisoners at Thomaston. Some of us still use those if we have some issues with our machines. And the fourth thing would be COVID. COVID's really made a huge difference in the way we conduct elections. For example, I would normally be operating today with between 50 and 60 voting booths. But because of COVID, that was reduced down to 25, which is another good thing with the absentee balloting. So we haven't had an issue of having more than 50 people in our room at all today. And the last thing I was going to mention was the ranked choice voting. Ranked choice voting has really confused an awful lot of people. And as of just about a half hour before I made this call to you, we've had well over 100 people spoil their ballots solely for the reason of misunderstanding ranked choice voting.
Oh, no.
So those were the things I wanted to bring out to you, and happy to answer any questions.
So 100 people spoiled their ballot. Does that mean that those ballots will not count and you don't have
a way of reaching out to them? They were reissued new ballots.
I see. Yeah.
Very fortunate. The other thing I wanted to mention, too, is we did get an outside drop box, and we have now had close to 3,000 people that use that box. And out of those 3,000 people, we only had 2 people who didn't sign their envelope, and we were within a few hours able to get them to come in and do it. So as of right now, we have no rejected ballots in Kennebunk.
Great. Anna, do you have any questions for Merton?
I was curious. You said that you think you might get over 90% voter turnout. Yeah. That would be higher than any town managed in 2016, and that would be fantastic. Do you think that there is a difference this election in voter concern over processing? I'm curious if you've been getting extra questions and that, and what kinds of reassurance you found to be helpful for voters.
Right. Well, never before, I don't think, have I ever really had to explain, and I've had to do several times, of people calling, and you know, I love their questions, and that is just exactly what happens to this ballot that I'm putting in this envelope that I'm sealing. You know, what's the rest of its journey? And I'm very happy to be able to take them on that journey and let them know how safe voting is in Maine.
Merton Brown, do you have any predictions on when your votes will be counted in Kennebunk?
Yeah, I'm anticipating, because remember now, 70% of our voters have already been pre-processed. We won't run those tallies until later tonight. But I'm really kind of thinking that we will be done and out of here by 10:30, quarter of 11.
Great prediction.
Yes.
Merton Brown, thank you so much for calling in and joining us on Maine Calling today. Merton Brown is Kennebunk Town Clerk. We're going to move on now to Gerald in Winthrop. Hi, Gerald. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for taking my call. Normally, my wife and I spend our winters in New Zealand. We're very fortunate to be able to commute back and forth and follow the summer season. But I came back to Winthrop this year to buy a property, and I left about 2 weeks before New Zealand shut their travel ban down. And so my wife was still there, and she has been sequestered since then. She's in very good condition. There's not an issue over there. They're one of the best countries to have dealt with this. But she was able to file her voting online. She was able to track it to make sure that it was received on time. And my daughter, who's actually a resident of New Zealand but still an American citizen, was able to do the same. So I think that this process not only is working for us here, but is also reaching out to people that are around the world that have to use the absentee system.
All right. Thanks for your call, Gerald. Anna, any thoughts?
It's a great example of how we have been using absentee balloting for really everyone. Every state in the country has been using it to support overseas voters for a long time. And so when we can apply those systems to support more voters who want to use absentee this year, it's been a good basis to build from in some of the states, especially that haven't had Maine's background in doing absentee voting. We've typically had up to 30% of voters use absentee voting in the past. So while we're seeing much, much more this year, it is still something that we've had some practice with and that we're familiar with as a start. But I'm really glad that you had such a positive experience voting.
Gerald, thanks for your call. I'm going to go through some of the emails and Facebook posts we have. Here's Rebecca, in and out in less than 5 minutes in Winterport. It wasn't a ghost town by any means. Lively and parking lot almost full, but well organized. Catherine on Facebook says that she was in and out in less than 5 minutes in Belmont. Well set up to accommodate 9 or 10 voters voting at the same time. She writes, there is something about standing there on election day, marking the ballot, to really feel the fulfillment of your right to vote. Very satisfying. Catherine on Facebook says, voted early in person. It was a smooth process, in and out in 5 minutes. Will it affect how I vote in the future? Not sure. This is a really unusual year, so it's hard to know if it will have long-term effects on voting behavior. But I do hope all the new voters continue to stay engaged after 2020 and vote in the midterms and beyond. We should have this good of turnout every year. And Jeannie writes, I live in Penobscot, Maine, population 1,240. At 10:30 a.m., I was voter number 168. 400 voters had voted early. Proud of how my town is exercising its civic duty. I want to ask you, Anna, do you think that this election will change voting patterns in the future?
I think it will. I think we won't see this high a percentage of voters using absentee voting in the future, but I think we will see a jump as people who use it for the first time realize how easy and convenient it can be. I think beyond that, though, what this election has really shown us is that people have paid more attention to the details of the election and every step of the process than they ever have before. And hopefully that has generated some respect and, you know, appreciation for what their town and state officials do. We saw an outpouring of people being willing to be poll workers. And I hope that that continues and we keep having new blood in our local election administration. And then it also has showed us that even though we have very strong voter systems in Maine, there's still ways that they could be improved. I think a lot of people were surprised that Maine doesn't have a system for online voter registration. That's something that we can work on in the future. We saw the introduction of the absentee ballot tracking and of drop boxes, which are both fantastic, but we'd love to see drop boxes be made into something that you can find, like you find a polling place through the state voter lookup. So there's still like things that this has shown us that there's room to improve on. And what I hope people will take away from this is that if they want to get involved, there is always an election coming up. They don't have to wait until the midterm. We're going to have town meetings this spring. We'll have June elections and we'll have next November. And those elections are just as important. And people may be more likely to cast the deciding vote for their select board or their school board as they are for president.
Okay, I'm going to try to squeeze in one more question. Ethan, if you could be quick, I'd appreciate it.
Hi, great. Thanks for taking my call. I have a quick question on there was a Hill report that said that 78% of American voters are dissatisfied with a two-party system, meaning they're too beholden to the special interests to really allow any meaningful change. And on a local level, I support Republicans to restore balance of power in Augusta. But nationally, how are we ever going to get change if, and you add to what I just said, the fact that the negativity,
Ethan, we're in a big hurry. I'm going to ask Anna reflections on how are we going to after get change with the dissatisfaction of voters?
I think we've got to look at the changes to our system. So ranked choice voting is just starting to settle in, but we have more work to be done. We'd love to see take a look at the Electoral College and changing that system with the national popular vote. Looking at reforms around money and politics, all of these things that make people feel like their vote doesn't matter. Looking at redistricting, which we're going to be coming up on the cycle for. So there's lots of work to make our system be a truly effective and representative democracy that goes well beyond the actual voting and elections process.
All right. And Ethan, thank you so much for your question. Anna, a quick yes or no question. Jenny on Facebook wants to know, any evidence that post offices in Maine had a hard time delivering ballots on time? Have we heard anything about that?
Nothing in Maine. Bits
okay,
of stories
great.
From other parts of the country, but good here.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. Anna Keller, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Maine and Maine Citizens for Clean Elections. Sorry to all of you I was not able to get to during this hour. Clearly, really high interest in the topic of voting today. Stay with Maine Public throughout Election Day and into the night. We will have special election coverage on Maine Public Radio, television, and at mainepublic.org. Today's sound engineer, Sandra Harris. Maine Calling produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.